Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com and also on Spreaker.com, our new home. I'm Mark with a Q. I'm your host. I am very privileged to have the star of an up-and-coming History Channel series that's going to be starting on February the 10th. Really great guy he has. He's come from the stuntman and motorcycle racing world to become a custom fabricator out in North Carolina. He was just out here for SEMA, which was a really great, huge event. His new show, Toymakers, is going to come out February the 10th on the History Channel. We have David Enkin on with us right now. How are you doing, David?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. We were talking a little bit right before we went on air about the fact that you're out here with SEMA doing some publicity with the History Channel, and obviously, their motor block basically on the channel is, I think, one of the most popular parts of their programming as well. We're talking about the fact that a lot of the History Channel stars were out there doing this big huge party, and there was big huge promotion for it over at SEMA. I mean, how was it for you to kind of be out there with the guys?
You know, it was amazing. You know, I've been going to SEMA for years, and you know, I was involved with, you know, Velocity the last couple of years, so it's a different feeling, you know. So to come out there with the History Channel and A&E Networks, and we're also on FYI this year as well, was amazing. It's truly a family. I mean, you know, most of the senior management's been there over 20 years. The other shows were amazing. I mean, we hung out, we talked, we shared experiences and, you know, the trials and tribulations of a TV show and business, you know. So it was truly, truly more humbling than anything else, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, you know, SEMA was just a few weeks ago, and we're talking about how big and how crazy it has been since you first went to SEMA your first time around. I mean, the ability to see different customized parts and to kind of get some ideas on what's been going on in terms of the technology and that as well. How is it for you to kind of look at some of the vehicles that they have or some of the performance parts you have and kind of get, I guess, for the lack of a better term, motors running in your head for ideas in terms of some of your creations?
Well, you know, for me, SEMA's instrumental for a lot of reasons. Number one, there's a lot of incredible builders throughout the country that never get any recognition, and they show up at SEMA, and they're just amazing. But more so the products. I mean, you know, I might have something in my head I want to do, but it's, you know, you're almost looking for one of the brands you're dealing with to be exploring the same thing. Like this year, Precision Turbine, building a big twin turbo car, and the turbos are visible. So usually you hide the turbos under the hood. What just so happens is, so you want a mirror image turbo, and the turbo company I use doesn't have mirror image turbos. I walked into their booth, and what did they just introduce but mirror image turbos? So, you know, it's just collaborating with a bunch of other people that think just like you do, and making your ideas come together, making their ideas come together. They might be wanting to put something out. You have an idea to make that happen. So it's just a great collaboration around a bunch of gearheads that all think the same way.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk a little bit about how you got started. I mean, you know, like I said, you were a stuntman and a motorcycle racer before you went into the customization field. I mean, how did that come about? Was that something that you've always had a passion for?
Yeah, you know, back in the day, and you know, that was way back in the day. I mean, you know, back then we didn't have, you know, you were at, let's say you were working at Six Flags or, you know, wherever you happened to be working in a theme park doing live stunts, and you had to fix your vehicle every day to do that trick five or six times a day. So you had to figure out how to build it, make it stay together, how to last, how to do the trick that you were supposed to do. And, you know, that was a chance, and I really enjoyed doing it. And then before long, you know, or before the show would even start, you know, the stunt coordinator would ask you to do a trick, and you had to figure out how to build a vehicle that would not only stay together, but be safe and do the trick. So it was a big passion of mine, something I love to do, and you know, just something I grew into, to be honest. It was never meant to be a business. I just love to do it. So.
Yeah, it was kind of, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that. I mean, I believe there was a stuntman this past year had was duplicating one of Evel Knievel's stunts on his original. The same bike that he had actually done that. I believe it was the History Channel thing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you're talking about Travis Pastrana, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's interesting, I mean, back in the day, I mean, you went with what you had, but nowadays, obviously the motorcycles are quite lighter, and the modifications are a little bit easier to make, and we were talking about that off air, that there is a lot of technology now that you can customize parts a lot quicker, and a lot more efficiently. I mean, you know, how was it for you to kind of see that transition over from, you know, having to use what you have now to try to go to what you have, I mean, what technology we have now, and making things a little bit easier?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's completely a different thing. You know, you bring up Travis when he did that. You know, he was on a completely full suspension, full brakes. Everything worked. He had no issues whatsoever. It made the jump look easy. You know, where Evel Knievel had nothing. You know, I mean, he just literally went out there by the seat of his pants. You know, he didn't have any way he had no way to calculate. He didn't care. He just grabbed a hold of the throttle and jumped. So Travis almost made it look easy and took the fun out of what that was. And I laughed. I said, man, you know, if he would have done it on what Evel Knievel jumped it on, it would have been impressive, you know. And then Travis is an amazing man. I mean, he can do it all. I mean, he really can. But technology almost made it too easy for Travis. Where in my world, same thing with building a car. You know, we don't have the time, especially when you're doing a show, to sit and hand build every inch of the car anymore. So you have to use CNC machines. Yeah, and not only that, but it's the quality's better. You can get real precise. You don't have to take a week to build something. You can build it in a couple hours. You know, so there's a lot of things that come into play. But, you know, as far as technology, as far as safety, about far speed, you know, all that stuff is a whole other world right now. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with the technology that's out there today and the products that are out there today.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, and obviously your shop does a lot of that. I mean, does a lot of customizing, a lot of great vehicles as well. I mean, how did the show come about? Was that something that they approached you about?
No, it's something that we talked about on and off for years. I said no for a long time. I really didn't want to do it, but you know, my shop does a lot of OEM stuff, just like everybody else. You take a Camaro and you throw a Pro Charger on it or something like that, or a Mustang. But we hand-build the chassis, the body, the suspension. You name it, we build it. So, but, you know, how it comes about really is just trying to figure out to build a brand, for me anyway. I wanted to build a brand, you know, this be my last hurrah in life. And it's an hour-long commercial for your brand. He developed the brand, and what a perfect way to do it. I get to do what I love to do. I get to surround myself with people that I like and admire and you know, want to grow all of us. So that's really how it comes about for me. I just wanted to build a brand and have an hour-long commercial for our brand. And, you know, the fame has got nothing to do with it, and I just be able to make a living doing what I love to do, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, tell me a little bit about your team. Obviously, really diverse, diverse bunch of characters as well. Tell me a little bit about the team that you work with.
You know, it's funny. I laugh all the time. I call us a team of misfits. My partner, David Young, is a retired, he sold a big defense contracting company, never knew anything about cars whatsoever in his life, was very, very successful in his life. And that ended up being my partner. And then the actual shop itself is just a team of misfits. I mean, my main fabricator, him and I do all the fabricating, and you know, he came from the cup world. I mean, he put bodies on trucks for years, and he can fabricate anything. He's done all kinds of you know, race cars and drag cars and cup cars. I mean, he's just very knowledgeable. My welder is truly a guy that welding one day, and he just is absolutely amazing at it. And Billy is just, he's been around the racing world his whole life. So Billy is just a great guy that can do a little bit of everything. Ashley, it was a waitress of mine for 3 or 4 years that I particularly didn't like, because she was just an annoying waitress that wanted to take my order. She ended up being my assistant, and that's it. That's the only thing going on in my shop. And it's, we don't have a huge crew. We do it all ourselves. And let me tell you something. I'd put my team against anybody on the planet. We're so well-diversed that, you know, they get it. My whole team gets it. They can do anything in the shop, from plunge a toilet to build a 200-mile-an-hour drag car. We don't, you know, it's what we do. It's our passion, and we all share the same passion.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious. A question just popped in my head, and I'm interested in your opinion on it. I mean, are you seeing a lot more female customers coming in? I mean, are you seeing that there are a lot more women that are gearheads nowadays?
Let me tell you something. More and more all the time. It's amazing to me. My inbox is full of them. And matter of fact, this coming weekend, I have a race I've been challenged to by a friend, a fan that I met, you know, a year or two ago, and we became friends. And he does his big BW thing. There's a whole class of just girls racing, and to me, that's just awesome. I mean, you know, because not only that, it's family. I see a lot of families. I mean, it's family based now. It's, you know, it isn't the guy coming home begging his wife to go. It's family based. The women are getting involved. The guy's got a car, the woman's got it, or the woman's got a car and the guy's helping them. Another good friend of mine, you know, she does the racing and the boyfriend's her pit crew. You know, I mean, it's a lifestyle that I hope never dies.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just great to be able to see that's coming around, you know, and that obviously expands your customer base in terms of that as well. So it's great to be able to hear that's the situation, that's the case. I mean, it's just crazy to be able to see. You know, also there's a little bit more of a nostalgia now to go for some of the older cars versus what's out on the market now. I mean, it's hard to think that, you know, how are you going to look at fabricating a car in the future with some of the cars that are coming out in the new millennium as well. I mean, how's it for you to kind of see, you know, where technology has it? I mean, is there a nostalgia factor in terms of a lot of the builds that you have?
Well, you know what's funny to me, you know, if you look at Camaro, if you look at 74, 88 guys, they've all taken a Camaro from the old days. Now they've remodeled it today, trying to get the youth involved. I think the old timers like myself, I remember a day when a 455, 425 horsepower motor was an animal. You know, nowadays, that's a good six cylinder, you know, off the shelf. So, you know, technology has changed. And I think the youth has changed. What they like, you know, the turbo stuff, the, you know, the supercharged stuff. You know, back in the day, we were in big screw blowers. Now they're not. They're running pro chargers under the hood. Everything's hidden. And it's all computerized. It's all dialing your car in and setting a tune-up and traction control. And it's really amazing. It's the same exact thing, just in a different light. We used to worry about cams and carburation. You know, we're worried about tune-ups and traction control. And, you know, it's, you know, yeah, I mean, it's just changing with the times and seeing what the youth loves. I mean, to me, I don't have a sound system in my car. I have an exhaust system and a big cam. You know, kids today don't think that way. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see in the next couple decades, you know, once these become quote-unquote classic cars that are coming out today, it's like, well, you know, things just change so much. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be tougher or how everything is going to be, but it'll be interesting to find out once we get to that point.
Well, the electric car is killing it. Go ahead, sorry.
We're talking a little bit off air as well as about the idea of the call culture in North Carolina. I mean, you're in the middle of cast car country, and you know, just to have, a lot of the shows that are on history, you know, kind of focus on the West Coast. It's nice that we get some fabricators from the East Coast kind of represented in terms of that as well. And like I said, you're in the middle of NASCAR country. You're in the South, where there's a lot of call culture as well. I mean, how's it been for you to kind of see where see the kind of the passion that is out there? And I mean, are you seeing a lot of differences between what in East Coast an East Coast customer may want versus a West Coast?
Oh, no question. And it's everything from the style of car to the paint. I got really good friends that paint on the East Coast and really good friends that paint on the West Coast. And I'm telling you, I can look at a paint job and in a matter of a half a second tell you if it was a West Coast or East Coast car. Same thing with the style of the car. You know, it's that dramatic. And I own a company called Toymakers. I love everything with a motor. So I'm not really biased, but it's amazing to me the difference. A West Coast guy believes this wholeheartedly and nothing else matters. And an East Coast guy believes this and that's all that matters. And they're dramatically different in every sense of the word, from a transmission to wheels and tires to a stance of a car to what you put under the hood to a paint job. I mean, it's that dramatically different East Coast to West Coast.
Yeah, and you said anything with a motor. Obviously, that also includes motorcycles as well. And obviously, you have a special place in your heart for motorcycles. I mean, how has it been for the motorcycle culture in terms of that as well? It seems like they're making a huge comeback in terms of, you know, we're seeing a lot more companies. I mean, Indian just came back a couple years ago. It just seems like there's a lot more people wanting to go out and ride on motorcycles now.
You know, I hope so. It is a passion of mine. I own a bunch of them. I did another one this year. Every year I do something based around motorcycles. It's something that, you know, I heard a story a year and a half ago that motorcycle riders were dying faster than new ones were buying, and that was almost a shame. So to see the industry slowly start to mold and manipulate into the younger generation is huge for me. But you're right, they are coming back and they are making a run at it the best they can, and it's just a matter of staying with the times. I hope it lasts forever. I'll never get rid of all my bikes. I built a V-twin this year. Last year we did a quad rocket. For me, it's an industry that I love, so I hope they keep growing and growing. So
yeah, you know, and like I said, it's going to be interesting once we get with the show on history, because you're going to get a lot more viewers, obviously. You know, already having that home in Veloci probably helped a lot in terms of kind of building the show and what the show has become. I mean, you usually see a lot of changes between season one and season two, just tweaks of what kind of the process is as well. I mean, you know, how was it for you for that first season? And then obviously has the second season been a little bit easier for you?
It wasn't. First season was almost gravy for me. Second season about killed me. This season here is considerably different. Moving to History Channel, the builds are absolutely insane. But let me tell you something. The team just started to click. And I don't mean my team. I mean the producer, the director, the camera guys, the sound guys, the parts people that I deal with, you know, the brands that I deal with, just started to click. And this season has been amazing. The builds are absolutely amazing. And it's going to take the first two seasons and just blow it right out of the water. It's for me, this is going to be the big season. I thought year two I would have that happen, but it was a struggle for me. Year two was a struggle for me. But this year right here, I just got into a groove, and everybody I deal with is in a groove, and it's been amazing. It's absolutely amazing ride.
Well, I mean, again, that's just great to hear that this, like I said, again, I look forward to this new season as well. I mean, I mean, it's interesting to see those relationships between it as well. the ability to have those relationships with vendors and all that as well. I mean, just to be able to have certain vendors that you can talk to and all that as well. I mean, you know, how's it been for you to kind of, you know, work with some of these vendors and, you know, kind of learning a little bit about more about their projects? And, you know, obviously, you know, some products you may like prefer more than others, but what's it like to kind of work with some of these vendors? And obviously you were at SEMA and quite a few of the vendors were out there kind of showing their stuff, but how's been the relationship between you and vendors?
Well, for me, you know, my whole life has been building something, you know, so, you know, you always know of vendors, but you don't ever talk to anybody. You might talk to a sales guy. So now, year three, I'm not talking to the sales guy, literally talking to an owner or their engineer. We work hand in hand in doing things. And it's almost surreal. I'm no better than anybody else out there. I just happen to get a lucky break. The good Lord's been good to us, and we're really, we've been blessed. But in saying that, I call David Vassar on his cell phone and we talk. And here's what I need, how we need it. He helps me develop. If somebody needs something, they call me and they can help me develop this part. That's huge for me. It's a dream come true. All of that is where I truly love to be. It isn't the television show is third in all of this, honestly. It's the fact that I'm dealing with people I've dealt with my whole life, and now I get to talk to the people that make the tire or wheel, or like I can call a rim company. If I'm talking to a particular rim company, I can call the owner and say, here's what I'm thinking. I know you guys only make it in 15 inches. I want it 22 inches wide. And we develop that wheel. And that's something I could never have before because you just can't get to them people. Does that make sense? Now I'm talking to them people.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing.
You know, yeah, the relationships, you know, the relationships you have and, you know, you kind of feed off each other. You have inspiration for a thing and that might inspire them to make a different series or different line of parts and vice versa.
No question.
You know, they have something that you have that you want. So it's a great relationship and it just helps spur that correct creativity as well. I want to mention you guys are on Twitter at Toymakers with a Z, at Toymakers TV on Instagram, so you could see some of the builds that you guys do out in North Carolina as well, and also on Facebook as well. Anything else you want to add at all?
You know, listen, we've been very blessed. We also have an app out there, Toymakers app. Go down, it's free app. You can download your car to the app. On Toymakers Nation, I pick a car every week that I like of somebody put up there. This year, I took a fan, put him on the show because I liked his toy last year. This next weekend, I'm racing a guy that ended up coming through our fan base. So, you know, we love the fans. You know, without the fans, we're nothing. So you download the app, go to Toymakers Nation, show me your toys. Go to Facebook and show me your toys. I don't care. Show me your toys and let me pick it and put it on our stuff. And, you know, I love bringing the fans on our show. So we're going to continue that over the next couple of years. It's going to be awesome.
Well, that's great. I look forward to February 10th, you guys, on History Channel, also FYI. And I believe the old episodes are still on Velocity, correct?
Yep, they are. They'll be running till January, and then we're switching a little over to History right now. They're starting to roll the Drive Block commercials, and of course, you can always get us on Amazon and iTunes, and I don't even know how many countries we're in now. I got people inboxing me. I can't even understand what they're saying, but I'm excited for the next couple of years.
Well, it's great, David, and definitely we'll have to talk sometime down the line once the show gets going. Maybe we'll actually catch you next year at SEMA and down in Vegas as well. And best of luck to you coming up in the new season.
Man, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And call me anytime.
Okay, not a problem at all. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye. David and Kings, everybody, you guys can check them out at Toymakers with a Z on Twitter and at Toymakers with a Z TV on Instagram. You guys can check out some of the stuff that he works on, also some of the fan stuff as well. I mean, it's great to be able to have the opportunity to be able to talk to him. I wish I could talk to him at SEMA, but things just did not line up. Things will get a lot better come in the new year. So once these changes happen, you'll see some dramatic changes in the show, and it'll be for the better, trust me. I'm very season two wise right now in terms of the podcast. But anyway, like I said, we were off Mondays for the next couple months just because of holiday season. My other job is just not letting me have my Mondays off as much. So I'm going to do Sunday shows for the next maybe 6 or 7 weeks. Once we get back into January, we'll be back on Mondays again. And I want to make sure you guys definitely check us out. Like I said, we're on Spreaker right now. I believe iHeartRadio has accepted us. Fingers crossed. I'll double check on that. So if you guys have the iHeartRadio app, you can find our podcast there, as well as all your other podcast catchers as well. And Blog Talk Radio, of course, you guys can check out us out there. I'm thinking the website's going to still be there, but I don't know if Spreaker is going to completely take over, so I'll let you guys know once we hit January. But I know we are currently on Spreaker right now. We've got our show set up there as well. And then we'll be doing some – we'll be coming in the new year in 2019. Cincinnati Sessions will be returning. And then a couple other podcasts that we do – I do will be appearing – over on the Spreaker network. So make sure you guys check that out as well. And again, thank you guys for you know, we're on our 11th year of the show. Quite a few episodes, you know, going down the line. So thanks a lot for guys for joining us. We'll be back next week. I think we'll be back next week. If not, we're going to be back in 2 weeks. I've got to take a look and see what the timing is. That might be right before. Yeah, I might be able to do it Sunday next week. I'll have to check. Sunday next week, I will. We'll probably have a show, and then the following Sunday we won't have a show, just because of the Black Friday weekend. Again, it kind of deals with other matters that you guys do not need to know about. But then the following week we'll probably do 2 episodes in December, and then we'll call it a year, and then we'll be back in January. So I have a couple people lined up that need to be interviewed, that want to be interviewed. So we'll try to get one person in before the end of the month, and then we'll try to get a couple more done before the end of the year. So just check us out at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. We'll have all that information for you guys as well. And like I said, check us out over at Spreaker. So if you have the Spreaker app, you'll be able to find Somewhere in Vegas there now. And you'll be able to see some of the old episodes. And if you're you know, so inclined, and remember, these are not safe for work episodes on Sin City Sessions. If you're so inclined to listen to the archives of Sin City Sessions, that is also on Spreaker right now too. So if you just look up Sin City Sessions on Spreaker, you'll be able to see some of the old episodes that are on there as well. And like I said, Cincy Sessions will be coming back next year. It'll probably be towards the middle of next year when we start doing the Cincy Sessions episodes again, as well. And we'll have a little bit different look again for that particular podcast as well. So now you all guys are all caught up. We'll be back next Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I think there's an actor that I'm probably going to be talking to that has a Christmas television movie coming out. We'll be talking to him a little bit about that. So I think that's who we're going to have on next week. Don't quote me on it. With that in mind, we'll see you guys next week, next Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Thanks again for joining us.